You know, this week I've been reflecting a lot on family and different things as I was spending my time with the Lord. And I was just thinking about my wife and how much I love her and I appreciate all that she does. And so it just reminded me of the story of how I asked her to marry me. And it kind of fell right into this message, just kept going after that. And so I don't know if I've got to share that story with you, how I actually proposed to Shelley. And so I'll tell you a little bit about it. You know, we met over here in Weatherford at our church camp and at the campgrounds. And she didn't like me. She didn't think I was pretty or hot or whatever, you know. She didn't think I was good looking. And so, anyhow, long story short, she left college and went back to Borger, where we were both from. And I don't know why I didn't really get to meet her before that, but she moves back to Borger, and I'm going to church there, and then she shows up to church there, and I'm like, okay, hey, this is all right, you know. And so I'd ask her out, and no, she wouldn't go. But, you know, persistence paid off. I just kept at it, and just one day at a time, and she finally said, she'd go out with me, and then we dated for a while. And so I decided I was going to ask her to marry me, and I decided, you know, I was going to, with all my artistic ability that I have, I was going to go to Walmart and buy some poster board and some magic markers, and so I made up some posters, and I went to her mom and dad, and I asked them first. I did ask her dad if I could have her hand in marriage, and so, young men, that's a good thing for you to know. Be sure and ask the dad first, all right? And so, I got an amen over here. And so, anyhow, I actually included her mom and dad in my proposal. So what I did is I made these banners or these posters, and I asked them, I said, would you get Shelley in the car and tell her you just need to go for a ride and talk? And I said, head towards Panhandle, because that road is just hill after hill after hill, just small ones. And so I decided I would make these posters. And so on the first hill, I put Will, and the second you, and then Mary, and then the last hill she came over, oh, there I was sitting on the tailgate holding a sign saying, me, would you marry me? And there's about five other trucks that had pulled over too. No, just kidding. Because I did forget to say, Shelley, will you marry me? I just said, will you marry me? And so I asked everybody that passed by if they'd marry me. But praise the Lord, she said yes. Amen. Come on, somebody. She said yes. And now we've been married 29 years, and April will be 30 years of marriage that we've had. Yeah, she deserves better than that, let me tell you. But one of the things that I've learned in the 29 years of being married is that anybody can propose, but it takes a lot to wake up every day and to choose each other in marriage. And then another thing I've learned in the 62 years of my living is that it's easy to start something, but it is way much harder to finish. Amen? It's easy, that starting things is actually pretty easy, you know. But as a follower of Jesus, finishing things is biblical. We're going to take a look at that today. And so we're called to start, and that's to take that step of faith, right? But what makes us unique, though, is that we serve a God. We serve a God who didn't just start things. He finished them. Amen. You know, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, as we follow him, we're called to do the same thing. In fact, God's measurement of success could be boiled down to this one word, and that word is faithfulness. Faithfulness. And so my question is, are you going to be faithful with what God has asked you to do? Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes preaching about faithfulness is easy, but living it is very hard. For instance, you know, every once in a while I get on this little kick and I think, man, I'm going to get ripped. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to get some muscles, you know. I'm going to get those abs and muscles and everything. And I do good for about 7 to 10 days, man. You know, I'm in the gym and I'm eating grass and leaves and anything I can to be healthy, you know. And I'm doing really good on maybe about 7 or 8, 10 days. But then on day 11, I'm in Chipotle. You know, give me that bowl. You know, I got to have my Chipotle bowl. Because starting things is easy, but finishing things is hard. Can I get an amen? So now I want us to look at an example from a story in the Bible, and I want us to look at the story of Noah. When we think about Noah, you know, most scholars, they believe that it took him anywhere between 75 to 120 years to build this ark. Now, when I was reading, I'm leaning a little bit more towards the 120 years, but it doesn't really matter, does it, how long it took him? It took him a long time. And so the only way that you and I can do something like that is if your measurement of success is the same as God's. It's got to be the same as God's. So the goal of my life is to do exactly what God is telling me to do today, and then to wake up tomorrow and do that same thing again, and then wake up the next day and do it again. And you see, if we keep doing this day after day after day, one day we'll look up and we'll say, wow, man, God did so much in my life. And that'll be a great day to look back and say that. And so it can all be traced back, though, to the small steps of faithfulness. And so did you know that a few years ago, the New York Times, they did an article on the millennials and Gen Zs that were entering into the workforce. And and that the point of the article wasn't it was basically to display some of their findings, some of the research that they had found, that they had observed. And one of the big takeaways that I got out of the article was that the average Gen Z or millennial adult will hold 14 different full-time jobs by the age of 31. And I was like, wow, that's a high number of jobs, right? And so now, you know, they weren't sharing this because they were trying to be critical of this generation. They were basically just saying that right now, like any other time in history, that human beings are looking for the next best opportunity, right? So like if we can find something that pays better, man, we're going to jump on it. Or if we can find something that's going to help my reputation be better, then I'm going to follow that. And so if we can find something that leads us closer to Christ is what I'm looking for today. Amen? Because as a follower of Christ, we need to really be careful that we don't approach following him in that same way, where we're just looking for the next opportunity. Because God does not give opportunities. God gives assignments. He gives assignments. And there's a big difference between an opportunity and an assignment. You see, an opportunity, it might bring fame to your name, but an assignment from God, it'll bring fame to his name. Amen? An opportunity, it might help you build your brand, but an assignment from God, it's going to build God's kingdom. An opportunity sometimes will be about ourselves and pleasing ourselves. But an assignment from God is about pleasing God and serving others, isn't it? And so I'm here this morning to tell somebody that today is not the day for you to give up on your God-given assignment. You see, sometimes it's easy. We look at these man-made opportunities and we'll give up a God-given assignment for a man-made opportunity. And I want you to understand today is not the day to do that. Because when you and I, when we get to heaven, the words that we want God to say to us is we want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't think any of us is going to stand before God and say, well, I want him to say, well done, my good and rich servant. Or well done, my good and famous servant. Or well done, my successful servant. We want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's my goal right there as a follower of Jesus, is to hear those words one day. Now, one of my favorite scriptures is Galatians 6:9, and it says this. It says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now, what I love about that scripture is that it just gives us one job, right? Everybody say, one job. One job. And that one job is don't give up. Don't give up. If we don't give up what God is asking us to do, then it's God that's going to do the heavy lifting. If we don't give up doing what God's calling us to do, it's him who's going to build our boat. It's him who's going to bring the harvest in our life. And so we can't give up. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting on the porch and I was scrolling through Facebook a little bit, and I seen Rigo and Mariana. They have a little boy named Zeke that's in our nursery back there, and oh, Zeke, man, he's just as cute as they come, you know. And they had signed him up for T-ball. And so they had this video of him out there playing T-ball, and I just had a good time watching that, and was thinking about how fun that is at that age and all of that, and it made me remember about a time when I was about 8, 9, maybe 10 years old. I don't really remember, but my parents, they signed me up to play football. And I thought to myself, man, oh man, this is my opportunity to right here to show everyone how athletic I am, you know, because y'all can tell I'm athletic, right? but also I remember another moment in that is where the coach didn't see that same potential in me that I saw. And so for the next few games, 5 or 6 games, I was just sitting on the sidelines. And I remember I was complaining going home from one of the games to my mom, and I said, Mom, I'm just ready to quit. I don't get to play. Coach won't put me in anyways. And so I said, I just want to quit. And my mom gave me that commitment speech that hopefully a lot of your moms gave you. No, son, you signed up. You said you was going to be there. You're going to be there every time. And I appreciate that lesson because it's helped me later on in life and throughout my life. And so I would show up to every practice and every game. And then finally, the day came that coach was going to put me in. It was my time to shine, you know. And I think we were probably winning by 100 or so. And they thought, well, Miller can't mess this up too bad. And so let's send him in, give him a chance. And so I remember the play. The quarterback was going to get the ball. He was going to hand it off. I was going to run up the middle and score a touchdown. Well, I didn't even make it past the scrimmage line. And I think we lost about 3 yards, if I remember right. But I also remember standing on the sidelines that day after that thinking, I'm not signing up next year. I'm not doing this anymore. And so as I was sitting there and I was going down memory lane this week, all of a sudden it seemed like the Holy Spirit just kind of convicted me. And he said, Jack, how often do you do the same thing spiritually? And man, I had to just sit there for a while. Because has God ever done that to you? Has God ever put you in a place that you believed that he put you in and then expectations, they didn't meet reality? And so all of a sudden you start to question if this is really what God called you to do or am I in the right place doing anything right? And so all of a sudden we get discouraged, don't we? When we hit those moments, we get discouraged and we want to leave that place that God has put you in. Not because God told us to leave, but because it didn't happen the way we thought it should happen, right? And so what if today, if we're in that position, and what if today we recommitted to God and we said, God, I'm realizing that I don't need a position change. I need a perspective change. God, if you haven't told me to leave, then I'm not going to leave. And God, if you haven't told me to stop, well, then I guess I'm just not going to stop. And God, if you haven't told me to quit, then I'm not going to quit because I'm going to keep showing up and I'm going to keep building this boat until you tell me to stop. And that's my plan this morning, is for God to help me with that. And so I think that God is looking for a people who might not be the most talented or the most gifted, kind of like I was in football, but their goal is the same as the goal that Noah had. And that goal was, I want to be faithful in what God puts in my hand. And we all know that God put a boat in the plans to a boat in Noah's hands, right? And so, if you will, humor me for just a second, because just like I thought I was a great football player, I also think that I can write movies better than the people in Hollywood, which I don't think would be too hard these days, right? But I was looking at the story of Noah, and I thought, man, this would make a great sitcom. And I was trying to figure out how this pilot episode would look. And I was imagining, here comes Noah. He comes walking in the door, and he opens the door, and he says, hey, babe. And he's talking to his wife, by the way. and he says, I quit my job today. She says, oh, really? Why in the world would you do that? He says, I'm going to build a boat. Now, all you married people in the room, you can imagine how well this went over, right? And so she looks at Noah and she says, well, is this going to be like a fishing boat or something? Is that how we're going to pay the bills? And Noah looks at her and he says, I think more cruise shippy, okay? And so that would be kind of like the first episode. But then if we go on and we think about, you know, year 10 in Noah's life, and you think about year 10, and you're like, here's Noah's wife, and she comes in the house, and she's all upset, and she says, Noah, you remember those dinner parties that we used to get invited to by all the neighbors all the time? Well, we're not getting invited to those parties anymore. You know why, Noah? No, I don't know why, honey. And she's like, because everybody thinks we're crazy. You've been building this boat for 10 years, and the only thing, it only makes sense to you and me. It doesn't make sense to anybody else. And so they think that we're crazy. And I can see how that episode would go. And it would continue on. And then you can think about the next episodes all down through this whole story about what, you know, you think about year 20 or 30 or 40 or something like that. And, you know, something that struck me this week while I was reading about Noah is that nobody was celebrating Noah's faithfulness. There wasn't anyone posting on social media, oh, look at Noah. Look what he's doing. He's doing a great work over here. There wasn't any media vans pulling up and reporters jumping out and shoving a microphone in front of Noah and saying, hey, tell us about what you're doing here. Man, you're doing a great work. There wasn't any hype. There wasn't any of that. And so that tells me is that if I need someone to notice my faithfulness besides Jesus, then I'm probably not going to finish well. And I continue to think about Noah. And I think about him, and 40 years goes by, and Noah's like, man, I just got to keep building the boat. I just got to keep building this boat, one nail at a time. And then I think about more of the story about, what about year 50 and 60 and 80 and 90? I can just imagine the people in town as they come by and they see Noah out there after all this time, and they're like, hey, Noah, you crazy old man, and just hollering at him, you know. You've been doing this for 60, 80, 100 years. You know, your kids are already grown. You had so much potential, and everybody's passed you by. What's going on? And then there's Noah, just one hammer, one nail at a time. Just keeps faithful, stays faithful, never gives up. He knows God called him to this plan. He knows God put him at that. And he knows that God's the one that put the hammer in his hand and the nails provided. And so he just keeps his faithfulness. And he just keeps plugging away. And maybe you or I are here today. Or maybe, no, I say me. Maybe you're here today. And maybe you're a new believer. Or maybe today's your first time in church, and you're wondering, you're thinking, is this guy trying to sell me a boat? You know, what's going on here? You see, what I'm talking about this morning is that you and I were uniquely called to do an assignment from God. God has a unique assignment for you. He has one for me, and he's called us to build a boat. And I know that there's so many things that happen when you start this process. And number one, I do know this. Whenever I started my journey of building for the kingdom of God, I know that every single person in this room has plans by God to build a boat through your life. The second thing I know is that this boat is much bigger than you ever could think, imagine, or ask. Because God doesn't build mediocre boats, and he doesn't have mediocre plans for your life either. He's got big plans for you. And the third thing I know through this is that if you can build the boat on your own, then it's probably not God asking you to build that boat. Because God wants you to do great things. So my question this morning is what are a couple of boats that maybe God's calling you to build? What is it that God is asking you to do? Wednesday night, I did a little message about your calling, and I said it's the who before the do. He's worried about you and who you are before he's going to give you a project to do. So what are some of the things that God is calling you to do? Maybe the boat that God wants you to build is the boat of your marriage. Maybe you need to start building in some date time with your wife and into your schedule or in with your husband. You need to build this marriage. Or maybe you need to start building in some prayer time with your spouse. I can tell you, on a personal level, there's nothing that I can do that blesses Shelly more than for me to stop what I'm doing and lay hands on her and pray over her. And there's just something powerful about that. And so maybe God's calling you to build in some prayer time in your marriage for your spouse. Maybe today God's saying, you know what? You've been discouraged. You've been even thinking about walking away, putting the hammer down and saying, you know what? This is not what I signed up for. It didn't meet the reality of your expectations. And maybe today God's saying to you, it's time to pick the hammer back up and start building again and start hammering one nail at a time and put your marriage back together. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're single and the boat that God's calling you to is the boat of your singleness, you know? Maybe you're thinking about, I just need a spouse. I want a spouse so bad. I want a spouse so bad. Because if you're honest with yourself sometimes, maybe you want that spouse even more than you want God in your life in that season and in that moment because it seems that important to you. But you know what? God's going to bring the right person at the right time. He's going to do it. But until then, God is asking you to keep putting Him first and for you to go all in on your relationship with Him and to build a life of singleness for just a moment until God supplies and meets that need. Amen? Or maybe God's calling you to the boat that He's wanting you to build is the boat of Grace Point Church. Maybe you've been coming for a while, and maybe you love the people. Maybe you love the teams that you see out here. Maybe you even love the pastor a little bit. But maybe it's time to go from being a spectator to being a builder of Grace Point Church. And you say, you know what? I want to join a dream team. Well, I tell you, Andrea can get you signed up, and we'll get you through Growth Track and get you on a team because God has a calling for you. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, you know what? Maybe I could help the youth department or the kids department grow. Or maybe I could help the go team or the hospitality team. Whatever it is, you might be saying, you know, God's calling me to do this. He's calling you to pick up the hammer and to do this. But you might be thinking, you know what? I don't know that I have what it takes to be a leader. I don't know if I have what it takes. I read a quote from a man one time, and it said this. It says, it wasn't that he was the best leader. He just tended to stick with problems longer than the person next to him. Come on. I want to be the person that sticks with a problem longer than the person next to me, because as followers of Jesus, we're supposed to be that people, that person that will stick with problems longer than the person beside us. Why? Why are we called to do that? It's because the God we serve, He stuck with a problem longer than anyone else was willing to stick with it. You see, the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He stuck with it till the very end, which means that it was not the version of me that Christ died for. It wasn't this all cleaned up version, the version that comes to church on Sunday morning. That wasn't the one that He died for. He died for me whenever I couldn't stand myself. He died for me when I was still in all my brokenness and my shame and my sin. He loved me enough to go ahead and die for me because He finished what He started in me. Amen? And so it wasn't me that He, the good me, it was the bad me. And so Jesus, He's not coming to us and He's not asking us to clean ourselves up. He's saying, hey, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's saying, hey, I died for you so that your sins could be forgiven. And then we come into this relationship with Him, and we want God to make sense of our life. And so as we get to know Him and as we get to study in His Word and we get into to His our relationship with Him, He begins clearer and clearer, and then we begin to see what He's called us to do. God's calling you and I to stick with our problems longer than the person next to us. He's calling you and I to build a boat, believing that God can do miracles in your life and in my life. Do you believe that this morning? I want to share another story with you about a boat that means a lot to Shelly and I and my family. And that's the story of 23 years ago when we accepted the call to come and help build a kids ministry here at Grace Point Church. And I wished I could say that that was such an easy thing to do, to come here and to build a kids ministry and to be a part of this for 23 years. But there were times in that where I didn't know if I was tough enough to stick it out longer than the person next to me. I didn't know if I had what it takes. And so I did know that if I would stay faithful and if I would keep my commitments like my mom taught me on the football field, to keep showing up whether I felt like it or not, to keep in there and hang in there and to not quit, I knew that God would be faithful and that he would get the glory and the honor for it. And so now we find ourselves 23 years into this, and I'm in a whole different role than I was. God has changed my position, but he hasn't changed my calling, and that's to be faithful to him every single day of my life. And this is what I know about the God that I serve. That if I will pick up the hammer, or if you will pick up the hammer, and you say, God, I'm going to build what you called me to build. You see, it's not you that builds it. It's him. If you'll be faithful and you'll say, God, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do, then he's the one that's going to do the heavy lifting. He's the one that's going to bring the harvest. He's the one that's going to build the boat. So maybe you're here this morning and you're saying to yourself, you know what? I don't understand how it's even going to happen, but I know God is calling me to do something big. If that's you this morning, I want you to know that Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. You see, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. And I can tell you, over the 23 years that Shelley and I've been here, that we didn't know how it was going to happen. Whenever God called us to pick up and move here, we had just found out we were pregnant with Sadie. My mom and dad had just lost a son, my brother. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I can leave them. I don't know if I can go off and leave mom and dad. But God had a plan, and we knew that if we'd be faithful. That God would fight our battles. We didn't know how it was going to work. We didn't know how it was even going to play out. You see, whenever God called us to come down here, I was working for UPS and I was making really good money. I was making great money. And we quit that job because I knew God had called us here for $200 a week. So we went from making about $1,200 a week down to $200 a week. Didn't make sense in our mind, but we knew that God had called us here, and we knew that if God called us here, that we'd never miss a meal or a bill because he said that he'd take care of us, and he has. I can tell you, over the 23 years, you can tell I've not missed a meal or a bill because it's the Lord that goes before us, amen? You know, if you read Romans 8:31b, it tells you, it says, if God is for us, then who could be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? Maybe you're here this morning and you think, you know what? I've done too much. I've disqualified myself. I know I thought that myself. I thought there's no way I can be qualified to do what God's wanting me to do because I've done way too much. But if that's you this morning, I want you to listen to 2 Corinthians 5:21, and it says this. It says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I'm telling you this morning that God wants to build a boat in your life. And he's not looking for the best boat builder. He's not looking for the most gifted or the most talented. He's looking for somebody that will just pick up the hammer and say, God, where do I start? And that's what God is looking for you and me this morning. And so I'm asking you this morning, are you ready to pick up the hammer? Have you laid a hammer down that you need to pick back up? And you need to say, God, I'm going to keep building and I'm going to believe that God is going to do what he said he would do because my God is faithful. And if I'll be faithful to him, he'll be faithful to me. I want you to stand with me if you would. You know, I think one of the biggest reasons that we lay our hammers down or that we don't build the boat that God's calling us to build is because it's so easy for us now to look to the left and to look to the right, and we can see the boat that God is building in someone else's life, and we get all hung up on that, and so we don't even build the boat that God is asking us to build in our lives. But I want you to understand that as a follower of Jesus, success is not me compared to you. Success is me compared to what God has asked me to do. Amen? And so my question is what is God asking you to do this morning? What is the boat that maybe you need to start building for the first time? Or what is the boat that maybe you need to pick the hammer back up on and say, God, I'm going to recommit myself to this, and I'm going to build the boat that you're calling me to build, and I'm going to build it today. I'm going to start today. I'm not going to wait another day because, God, I know that if I start today, you'll be faithful tomorrow. And so as you think about that this moment, I want you to just think about what boat that God is asking you to build. And I'm not talking about a physical boat. That's just the analogy. It's a spiritual boat. What is God asking you to do? I want you to bow your heads. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to pray. And I want to pray with you. I'm not going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you. And I want us to ask, what is it that God is calling us to do? Jesus, I thank you, Father, right now for every person that's in this room that's making a decision this morning that's saying, God, I'll build that boat that you're calling me to. I say yes to you this morning, God, and I'm going to pick up my hammer and I'm going to do what it is that you asked me to do, whether I see the finished product tomorrow or next week or next year or 10 years, 100 years, 120 years, whatever it is, God, I want to stay faithful because you were faithful to me. God, I pray that you would remind us this morning that through your Holy Spirit right now that you have a plan and a purpose for every person in this room. Father, I pray that you'd just speak it into our hearts right now that it's bigger than we could ever think. And God, I pray that you would help us to not grow weary in following you and in doing what you're wanting us to do. And Father, that you would help us, God, to know that in the proper time that we're going to reap the harvest, that the boat will be built if we don't give up. God, I pray right now that there'll be thousands and thousands and thousands of people that will be impacted by the boats that are being built in this room right now. Father, their boats will take people that my boat will never hold. So God, I pray right now that you would speak into their lives, into their heart, God, a calling to build whatever it is in your kingdom you're asking them to build. And Lord, I pray right now for souls that would surrender their lives and say, God, I'll do whatever it is you call me to do. Just show me the hammer and show me where to show up and what to do. And Father, I know that you will be faithful and just, and you will do that. You'll tell us what our next step is. And Father, I pray for someone that's here this morning and maybe they don't know you at all. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, I don't know this Jesus that you're talking about. But if he's calling me, I want to answer that call. If that's you this morning, I just want you to slip your hand up this morning. Amen, amen. God has got plans for you this morning. I want you to know that. He's got big plans for you. He just needs you to show up. He needs you to take that first step of faith and say, Jesus, I'm all in. I need you as my Lord and Savior. I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I need you, Lord. And he'll forgive you of your sins. He'll forgive you as if it never even happened. And then he'll put a plan in your life and in your heart and a calling.